What is going on, South Carolina and all the ships at sea? How are you today, Ramona?
I'm good.
Good, good. Glad to hear it. We have lots of things to get to on the show today. We'll have a guest later today, Craig Hoffman, who is covers the Redskins. We'll talk to Craig at 4:25 today. Is that right, Ramona?
Yes.
I believe he's originally from the upstate of South Carolina. I was a little surprised by the Amir Sims news today. A little caught off guard. But first of all, let me say, you people were terrific yesterday. You responded. You were involved, engaged. That's what I want to do here every single day. Every single day. We're to keep a smiley face on this whole thing as we move forward. And actually, Ramona, because I've had a few things go on here today, a little off course right now, but we need to start the day as we're going to start every day.
Are you ready? Drum roll.
Yeah, let's go. And that drum roll means there are only 150 days remaining, 5-0, until the college football season starts August 29th with 6 games. That's what we're talking about. Exactly. Okay, that's enough. You know, I saw Kelly and Kwok engaged in some sort of, I didn't get to hear any of it, I just saw it on Twitter. But they were engaged in some sort of conversation about the greatest teams of all time. They were each making up a team. I'm definitely going Team Kwok in this deal, by the way, because I saw that Kwok had Russell, Bird, and Johnson. If you had Russell, Bird, and Johnson, they would never lose a single game. You could put
those
five Jordans
three.
On the other team. Huh?
Those are your
what
three.
Was that? Well, they're the three greatest players of all time. So you put those three guys on one team, you're never losing a game. Plus, they were all completely selfless. And Jordan wasn't. Now, Jordan was a ball hog. I mean, for the vast majority of his career, you know, Charles Oakley once said Jordan had two green lights, so if one broke down. Which is one of the funniest lines ever. And that was true. I mean, it took Jordan like 8 years to learn how to share the ball. And even though Jordan caught Bird more towards the end of Bird's career, Jordan never beat Bird in anything. Nothing. And Russell's the greatest winner in basketball history. And if Bird or Johnson didn't have the other to deal with, then Bird or Johnson would have won like 8-9 titles. They had to deal with each other. You put those three guys together, I mean, they're arguably the greatest passers. In fact, it's not even arguable. They're the greatest passers at their position in the history of the game. The only one you could really debate is Walton with Russell. And Walton was a better half-court passer and a great outlet passer, but Russell was the greatest outlet passer of all time. I mean, the ball would never touch the ground. You know, Bird said at one point that if he and Magic Johnson played on the same team, they'd go 82-0 every year. And I believe that, you know. If they were both healthy, I believe that. So give me a Team Kwok. By the way, Ramona, our other two players on that deal were Kobe. Our other two players were Kobe Bryant and LeBron. So, you know, yeah, good luck. Good luck being that team. I mean, you know, that's a who's who of the all-time greatest players who have ever lived. So, yeah, no, and at least four of them are completely selfless players, you know, and then there'd be Kobe, but we would have been good with that. Amir Sims, I was a little caught off guard by this today. When I first sat down at the computer and began to do my work, I hadn't even seen the story. I hadn't seen it pop up anywhere. Excuse me. And then a little bit later, it popped up, and I was sort of surprised. I wasn't really anticipating that. I thought Amir would just return. Now, I think it's important to realize he's not setting sail. I mean, this is sort of a toe dip in. He's going to explore the process. He is not fully committing to it. No agent. So we'll see how it plays out. I'm not entirely convinced that this is the end of the road for Amir Sims at Clemson, but it may be. It may be. You know, one thing I'm not clear about at all is the process. You know, you're not going to have the camps or anything, I don't think. So I'm not sure how you're going to show who you are. And if you're not a guy who's considered by scouts to be a surefire thing in a two-round draft, I'm just not sure how much of an opportunity you're going to get to ply your trade and demonstrate who you are. Therefore, you know, I don't know how much of an opportunity Amir is really going to have. I don't know what feedback he's received. I don't know what guidance he's received in terms of this decision. Obviously, from a Clemson basketball standpoint, from a Brad Brownell standpoint, you want to have Amir back. But I will say this. If it is the end of the road for Amir at Clemson, this guy has been the absolute model of what you want a collegiate athlete to be. And if it is the end of the road for him at Clemson, and again, time will tell because I'm not sure of that. But if it is, he has been the ultimate representative of your university. In fact, you know what? This school in the various sports has produced a ton of players, a lot of players in the last, you know, X number of years that have been ideal representatives of their school. You know, whether it's Deshaun Watson or Trevor Lawrence and the charitable work he's involved with now or any of the other great athletes that you've seen at Clemson in recent years. But and look, and Amir had a platform that some of these other players did not have the luxury of, and that's the platform of international play and representing your country. And I'm quite confident, you know, some of these other guys would have represented in the same way. But Amir actually had that platform and he lived it to the fullest. And as such, if you're going to pick out one guy in Clemson athletics in the last, you know, 10 years who has ideally represented what it is to be a student athlete at Clemson, represented school, represented flag, represented country, you would be hard pressed to find anybody that you would put above Amir Sims. Amir Sims has done all the right things. He's been the ultimate leader of your program. He demonstrated that all year. He was a completely selfless player, was never about individual, didn't play with an eye on the scorebook. In fact, it sometimes was reticent in that regard. He was everything you wanted and more in a collegiate athlete. He was special. And those images of him with the flag wrapped around him and how he fully embraced that whole experience in exactly the way you would hope that a college athlete representing your school and country would. But it's not always the case. It isn't. Well, with Amir Sims, it was. I mean, if this is the end for Amir Sims, what a wonderful story he was at Clemson. What an incredible story. A guy who came in, worked hard, reinvented himself, made himself a better player, got better every year, gave everything he had and more, played a completely selfless style of basketball, went overseas, represented his school, represented his country, won a gold medal. Came back this year in a team that was besieged by injuries, immediately became the unspoken and maybe spoken leader of his team. And you know, at 6'7" or whatever Amir actually is, battled bigger players all year long, competed physically against guys that he probably shouldn't have had to compete against, but there was no one else. This team did not have size. They did not have that luxury. And frequently, Amir Sims was battling bigger bodies and oftentimes more than one bigger body. And again, he did all those things in this completely classy, selfless manner. He has been a remarkable representative of Clemson in every way, shape, and form. Every way, shape, and form. Selfishly, I hope he experiments with the process and returns, because I would love to see him return for another year. I would really want to see what it looks like. But from a standpoint of a player doing so many things and accomplishing so much and representing so well, you know, anyone affiliated with Clemson, any fan of Clemson, any fan of basketball in this area, just needs to stand and applaud this kid for everything he's been, young man, for everything he's been, everything he's done, everything he will do. Look, I don't know what the future holds for Amir Sims in terms of basketball. I hope he gets everything he wants. And I know he's going to work as hard as anybody. But I'm 100% confident that he's going to be successful in the world of life, regardless of what his basketball future holds. Because he's been all that in a bag of chips when at Clemson. He's exactly what you hope you're... he's the kind of kid, he's the kind of young man that you hope you have, that you hope you have to represent school and country. You know, the kind of young man that you hope your daughter marries, that kind. Amir Sims has been all of that, and more. So, you know, road rage, congratulations to Amir Sims, and I wish you the best on your journey of discovery. And again, selfishly, I hope that at the end of it, you decide to return for one more year. But if you don't, you know, as my father used to say when I was a kid, knock 'em dead, Amir. Walt Diptula, Road Rage, quick break. We'll be right back.
Whether you're looking for a quick lunch, celebrating a special occasion, or if you just want a great dinner with friends, Carson's is your place. Featuring hand-cut steaks from their in-house butcher and fresh-baked yeast rolls, open every day. Happy hour Monday through Saturday, 4 until 8 p.m. with discounted appetizers, beer, wine, and cocktails. Try the Monterey sandwich loaded with bacon, jack cheese, grilled chicken, and barbecue sauce. Or a juicy New York strip today at Carson Steak Warehouse and Saloon in Anderson.
Have you searched all over for your family's vehicle and can't find it on the lot? With the largest selection of Nissans in the upstate, Granger Nissan of Anderson is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Proudly serving the upstate, Granger Nissan of Anderson is a proud partner of the Clemson Tigers and home with a lifetime powertrain warranty on all new vehicles. Conveniently located at 3510 Clemson Boulevard in Anderson and only 25 miles from Greenville, and online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
If you're a mattress shopping, you must go visit Engineered Sleep on Congaree Road in Greenville. Each mattress is made in-house, and the showroom has the most popular models for you to try out. Engineered Sleep makes your mattress shopping easy. Every local mattress order is delivered to your house, and setup is free. Buy local and buy direct from the manufacturer. Visit EngineeredSleep.com for more information. That's EngineeredSleep.com. Sleep like a lamb, rise like a tiger.
Roosters Men's Grooming Center believes a man deserves a space of his own when it comes to grooming. Roosters offers the charm and comfort of a classic American barbershop, but updated to accommodate the 21st century man. Our professional stylists and barbers will make sure you receive the customized barbershop experience through classic haircuts, shaves, and products that reaffirm what it means to look and feel great. Roosters at the Plaza on Pelham. Book your appointment today at 884-8920.
located at 134 Exchange Street in beautiful historic downtown Pendleton, the Blue Heron offers only the best selection of meats, sushi, sides, farm-to-table flatbread, drinks, and desserts. Featuring an upscale seating area and bar to catch all the big games, their daily menu specials and happy hour fits every craving. 134 Exchange Street, downtown Pendleton. Check them out on Facebook and Instagram at Blue Heron Restaurant. Visit BlueHeronFood.com for full menu specials and more information. That's BlueHeronFood.com.
The Capital One Quicksilver Card Show.
Cut, cut, cut! Huh? The Capital One Quicksilver Card is simple. No need for a whole song and dance. Don't be sad. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. That's the spirit. The Capital One Quicksilver Card. It's simple, unlimited 1.5% cash back. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Capital One Bank, USANA.
Covering Spartanburg County with 15 hours of local sports programming. AM 1560, The Roar.
Tulip Road Rage, we are back. You want to end 654-7627. Let's keep it rolling today. Friday, we're going to have a tremendously fun exercise for you. I'll be joined by Josh Phillips, Coach Josh Phillips, and Eric McClain, and they will each be participating in their first live mock. And your humble Road Rage servant is going to grade their effort. So we're going to turn it upside down and to do it a different way on Friday. It should be a bag full of fun. That's going to start at 5:20 on Friday. Garrett, how are you?
Hey, how are you, Walt?
Good, Garrett. Appreciate you getting in.
Hey, I was just wondering. I'm a big New York sports guy, big Giants, big Yankees fan. So I was just wondering, with the draft upcoming this year, the Giants are in a, you know, we're not one guy away by any means, but do you think, I mean, it's been a big debate whether they go offensive tackle or if Simmons trumps any offensive tackle in that draft where, you know, we had to pick him instead of an offensive tackle, which may be a greater need. I was just wondering, I guess, your thoughts on that pick and if you had any time at all to ever watch Daniel Jones and if you think he can be a good NFL QB.
Yeah, Garrett, don't go anywhere yet because I want to ask you a question in response as well. But, you know, It starts with this. The answer to your first question is Simmons does trump any of the offensive tackles in this draft. In terms of conventional wisdom, how your board would be organized, the vast majority of NFL teams are going to have Simmons above any of these offensive tackles, as good as they are. The question comes in two areas. One, does the offensive tackle directly relate to helping your young quarterback? And does that then trump the Simmons factor? Is that piece necessary to protect your investment in your young quarterback? And I think to a degree it is. The other part of the question, Garrett, is the history. Because I have found in analyzing the draft through decades now that guys do what they do. And their history tells you, and you can ignore it all you want, but they keep coming back to the same well over and over and over again. And in the Giants' case, you know, Gettleman just likes big offensive and defensive linemen. That's what he favors. That's how he believes in building a team. Here's the question for you. Has there been any discussion in Giants circles about who's actually in charge of this draft. Is it still Gettleman? Is Judge having a bigger say? You know, who is the voice of this draft? And I wonder a little bit whether Gettleman is almost on lame duck status, because I think if things don't turn around this year for the Giants, I think this is going to be Gettleman's last year with the organization. And I'm just wondering, is this still his call? Is it a team call? Has Judge been given more power? I don't know about that element, you know, whose voice rules. If it's Gettleman, then the history says he goes offensive lineman.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've heard and, you know, I read is after this past year, Gettleman had to sit down with our owners, and, you know, Mara and
right.
Tish, and kind of, you know, talk about and changing his philosophy a little, because that's also part of his philosophy. He's never traded down in a draft. That's been, you
yep.
know, noted, which is a popular thing I think fans want is to, because, like I said, we're not one pick away, is to get more draft capital, get an O-lineman, and, you know, build up our team from there. But from what I understand, is it's more of a team draft now. And because you're right, he's on as thin ice as it gets, but it also brings up a question that I've been wondering too is, you know, due to this virus, say the season, you know, mini camps get canceled or the season gets delayed. Well, Giants have a second year QB under a new offensive coordinator, new head coach. Does that give Gettleman another year if, say, the season didn't go as planned
yeah.
just because we're, you know, a new system with a second year QB?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. I have the feeling that ideally what the Giants would like to do is exactly what you just said. They need more draft resources, and I think they would like to pick up another pick or two. So I think this is the first time they will explore under Gettleman dealing down. Now, you're not going to deal down too far, and the real problem is it's going to take somebody who wants to climb for a specific player. And I don't think it's going to happen until the live draft begins, if it happens at all, because right now there would just be too much unknown for any team to want to trade up to four. Four is not the tipping point in the draft right now. It's two or three. So, you know, if a team wants to trade up, they're going to want to trade up to those two spots in front of you, which may negate your ability to deal out of there. It will depend on who's left. So, and we just lost Garrett, but fundamentally meaning if someone, and maybe that's him back, I don't know, but if someone, once we get past three and we see what happens in those first three picks, and let's say Simmons is still on the board at four and a particular team covets Simmons, then that's a point they could jump up, or, you know, or even for a quarterback, depending on what the situation is. You know, Simmons is a unique player, as I said, because he's the one guy who doesn't have any counterpart. Almost every other guy at the top of the draft has a counterpart. The defensive Brown has Kinlaw. The quarterbacks, you have three to four of them. The wide receivers, you have three of them. The offensive tackles, you have at least four of them. So almost everybody has a counterpart. The Simmons piece, there's only one of them. So if you want that piece, you're going to have to be proactive in getting it. Now, look, there are people like Gil Brandt who thinks, as I mentioned yesterday, that Simmons is going to be available at 10, that he's going to slide. I don't think so. I don't think he is going to be available at 10. I think he's an elite talent, and look, are there going to be some teams that wonder if, you know, maybe he's a jack of all trades but master of none? Yeah, there's going to be some of that. There are teams that question everybody. There's going to be some of that, but I think in a changing game, I think that he's almost like drafting more than one player at the same time, and therefore I think he has an enhanced value. Is that Garrett back, Ramona? I think so. All right, Garrett, appreciate you. That's all right. Appreciate you getting back in. Yeah, so I think you're right. I mean, I think ideally what the Giants would like to do is acquire more draft capital, trade down a few spots, and then if Simmons still comes to them, they'd have that choice to consider, but they could safely trade down, you know, into the seven area in that range and still certainly get one of the offensive linemen that they covet, you know, if worse comes to worse. So I think ideally that's what they'd like to do. Although, you know, again, you have a couple Giants people now who have them taking Simmons at four. I just still wonder about it based on the history.
No, I agree. And, you know, what I wonder too is, you know, kind of going around that trading down is, you know, I think it's almost, you know, I wouldn't say it's agreed upon, but most mock drafts have Burrow going one. But, you know, what I wonder is all the other NFL teams that are looking for a QB, like the Dolphins, Chargers, I don't know about the Raiders. Do they really think Burrow is the top QB? Because in my mind, I could see them thinking, you know, maybe Herbert's better than him or Tua. And so, you know, creating that need for one of those QBs to possibly trade down.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think there's some interesting choices from the beginning. I mean, you know, it has been rumored that the Dolphins might try and trade up to one to make a play for Burrow. You know, whether that happens, I mean, it makes some sense in a number of ways that Miami is the team with more draft capital in this draft than anybody, so they could certainly make the move. They have 14 picks. And then, two, the Cincinnati Bengals had a whole week with Herbert, in which I'm sure they fell in love with him. I mean, even if they're inclined to draft Tua, I'm sure in the Bengals' minds they have some doubt about that, that there's been a lot of conversation about Tua versus Herbert because they've experienced Herbert up front, and nobody since the end of the season has experienced anything about Burrow. So, you know, that's the situation we're in. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out, Garrett. But, yeah, I think you raised some good questions, and yeah, I think it's pretty clearly either Simmons or one of those offensive linemen. What's less clear is whether that's at four or at seven or eight or something of the sort.
Yeah, and I'll get off. I was wondering, too, if you could just do, like, I guess your thoughts on Daniel Jones, and I'll get off with that.
Yeah.
But thanks for answering my questions,
yeah.
Walt.
Yeah, thank you, Garrett. Appreciate the call. Good job. Yeah, you know, look, I didn't like the pick of Daniel Jones at six, but I've often said that that if you like a quarterback, you have to go get him. You can't wait. If you believe him to be your guy, and Gettleman did. Now, unfortunately, Gettleman's rationale for believing him to be their guy was one sequence of plays in the Senior Bowl game, which that's a little disconcerting. I think there's a lot of evidence that Gettleman doesn't really know what he's doing, and that's a little disconcerting. I think you saw the good and bad in Daniel Jones last year, but he's a young quarterback. Look, he's 6'5", he's athletic, he has some traits, he doesn't have a huge arm, but he's a smart kid, and I think he can be good. I mean, I think you're going to help him, you're going to have to surround him, and that there again, that's where you get back into, does the desire to prove your young quarterback successful, to make, forget prove in the case of Gettleman, to make your young quarterback successful mean that you tilt towards offensive line because you're trying to protect him and trying to make him better, because he is an important part of your football team. You said so when you drafted him six. Now, it's also true that this coaching staff didn't draft him. This GM did. Angry lawyer.
Walt, how are you?
Welcome back, angry lawyer. Good to have you.
You know, I had a day off, so I went fishing this morning, and I got back, and I decided to call in. Hope everything's well.
Good. Yeah, I appreciate you calling. Same with you.
Not a problem. I want to say I really appreciate you being on the air all this time as a little beacon of hope throughout this, because it's tough for people out there, and I love hearing the degenerates call in, My big question is Rudy still getting married, or has he had to postpone the wedding?
I don't know. I haven't heard an update on that. I actually need to check on that.
Yeah, I need that. Last night I was doing the same thing I always do, which was stay up all night and drink scotch and watch professional wrestling videos from the 80s. I flipped over because I wanted to watch something else. And I've watched when Kevin McHale scored about 52 or 54 points?
Yeah, 50.
And then he held any. How much was it?
56, I think.
And then Larry Bird scored 69 days later.
Yeah. Well, and Bird told McHale that. Bird told McHale that. He told him late in the game, and he told him after the game. He said, you better keep scoring. He said, because I'm going to break this, you know, in a few days. And McHale apparently didn't heed the warning.
Back then, that was real basketball. And, I mean, I really enjoyed watching the Celtics. They had the ugliest team ever in the NBA because you had McHale and the Chief, and you had Bird, and you had, I guess, Danny Ainge was decent looking, but you had DJ, and then Bill Walton comes along and uglies it up even worse. One other thing I've watched.
I never really thought about it from that perspective, Angry Lawyer, but I do believe this. I believe the 86 Celtics were the greatest team to ever play basketball, and I don't really think it's all that close. Now, Bill Russell might have some that he would disagree with, and I know Magic would have a team he wants to go up against it, but that team was just beyond dominant. They went 41-1 at home, and they were basically invincible. And the real problem came, first of all, they had shooters everywhere. They had they brought shooters like Wedman and Seasting off the bench, and then of course Bill Walton came in for Parrish, and that's the one post-Portland year that Walton seemed to be blessed with almost full health, and he and Bird had this insane chemistry between them, so that as great as Robert Parrish was, when Parrish left the court, they actually got better, and so there was just no way to beat them.
Oh, I agree. I think that was an outstanding team. The other thing that was remarkable is how could Larry Bird score so many points with his shorts that tight? Because the guy's got to be sterile or something. Because I remember in the 80s and mid-80s, well, we used to love those short shorts with piping on. My final comment was, you remember when Pete Maravich scored 68 points?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, against the New York Knicks.
Yes, I watched that. I don't think there was an assist in that whole game. It was whoever got the ball just ran the length of the court and shot. And when he got up to 60, he was doing these one-on-three breaks, you know, 26-foot leaners. I mean, you need to watch that if you hadn't seen it. No, it's just remarkable that the shots they're taking.
Oh, I've seen the game. And, yeah, I mean, how would I know it was against the Knicks? I've seen the game, but look, that was Maravich's norm. I mean, that's what he did. That's why he was sort of a sideshow act, you know. Maravich would have been the greatest Harlem Globetrotter. Unfortunately, he's not the greatest basketball player. You know, I saw some of these lists. It's funny because I just did this list last week of the 25 greatest college players of all time. And I've seen these lists today generated by the Four Letter Network and others. And they have Michael Jordan as the greatest college basketball player of all time. You know, they had Jim Brown as the greatest college football player of all time. Honestly, these people have no frigging clue what they're doing. I mean, Michael Jordan's not even amongst the 10 best ACC players of all time, let alone the greatest college basketball player of all time. This is utterly laughable how you could come up with these results. I don't know if some of that was poll-driven, fan-driven. I don't know how they come up with this stuff, but the names I saw today littered all over the internet were just embarrassing from a knowledge of basketball and history standpoint.
I agree. I think Phil Ford was good or better than Jordan in college. And I grew up in the 80s where, you know, like I said, wrestling and basketball was really good. But
Jordan. Once again. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Angry Lawyer. Appreciate it very much. Appreciate the kind words. Very nice of you. Andrew, I'm coming to you. You know, look, again, Jordan was not the best player on his own team. James Worthy was. You can ask any North Carolina fan that. He wasn't the best player on his own team. He was a young player and still development. He had immense talent, but the talent hadn't fully come out yet. You know, and he got better and better each passing year. Look, he was a late bloomer. He was a late bloomer in high school. He got cut several times. Andrew, I'm coming right to you on the other side. Quick break. We'll be back.
Our lives have changed tremendously lately. Founders Federal Credit Union wants you to know we're here for you. While our world right now may be uncertain, your money at Founders is not. Founders Federal Credit Union is fully backed by the NCUA, and Founders members have many ways to access their money at Founders. Our drive-thrus remain open, many with extended hours. Our ATMs are fully serviced. Founders Online and the Founders app are available to you 24/7. Relax. We are your credit union, and we are here for you. Not a member of Founders? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to apply for membership.
Support a local business and order from the Blue Heron in Pendleton for curbside pickup. From 4 till 9 p.m. daily, pick a delicious meal and avoid the crowds. Enjoy any of their menu favorites or that bottle of wine you've been craving. Charred grilled filet mignon, shrimp and cheddar cheese grits, sushi, crab cakes, chicken wings, amaretto cheesecake, and so much more. Are you hungry yet? Check out the Blue Heron on Facebook and Instagram for specials. To place your order, call 864-653-3354 for the Blue Heron.
Thompson and King want you to know that there has been an important change in veterans' rights. Vets or widows of vets who served in Vietnam in the Navy may now be able to receive Agent Orange benefits. Public Law 116-23 is known as the Blue Water Navy Vietnam Vets Act of 2019. These Blue Water claimants may also be eligible if their claims were previously denied. If you or your deceased spouse served in Vietnam in the Navy, please call 222-0200 or online at thompsonking.com.
Grainger Nissan of Anderson is not only the home with a lifetime warranty, but the winner of the 2017 and 2018 Nissan Award of Excellence. Grainger Nissan is here to serve the upstate with excellent service and competitive pricing. With the largest selection of Nissans in the upstate, Grainger Nissan is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Grainger Nissan of Anderson at 3510 Clemson Boulevard, only 25 miles from Greenville, and always online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
Inside the train testing facility, our heating and cooling products are put through 16 weeks of extreme temperature fluctuations to simulate 5 years of wear and tear. But these aren't just seasonal shifts. Inside the lab, it fluctuates between 150 degrees one day to sub-zero temperatures and layers of snow the next. Then back to hot, then back to cold. Then hot and cold. Hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. And we didn't even get through the first month. We test so it runs.
Unstoppable products, unbelievable deals. Contact Pittman Heating and Air Conditioning to bring home a system that's tested to run through anything. Now through May 15th, get up to $500 in exclusive rebates on a qualifying new train system. Call 864-662-3362 for complete program eligibility, dates, details, and restrictions. That's 864-662-3362 for this and other exclusive offers. Unstoppable solutions, unbelievable deals. Contact Pittman Heating and Air Conditioning, your hometown independent train dealer.
It's hard to stop a train.
You can always get through to us on the Northland Communications Hotline, 864-654-7627. Call the Roar.
Welcome to the Road Rage. I'll get to your calls in a minute. You want in. It's a good time. 654-7627. Let me tell you about Harry's. Look, how many guys are overpaying for raises? We can't answer that. But over 10 million guys have tried Harry's. So we know that at least 10 million guys aren't overpaying and instead enjoying a great shave at a fair price. That includes me. What I like most about the Harry's shave is the flexible hinge. It glides across the contours of my face. There are no cuts, burns. I don't deal with any of that stuff. So Harry's wants to make you an offer of even more savings. New customers get $5 off a Harry's trial set. You just use code WALT. That's code WALT at harrys.com. And Harry's believes everybody deserves a quality shave at a fair price. So they cut out the middleman. They bought the German factory that made the finest steel, ground it into the sharpest blades, offered you 100% guarantee, the best guarantee in the industry, didn't go for any of those gimmicks that the major companies have used, the major brand has used for decades to raise prices, like flex balls or heated handles, things that have nothing to do with the quality shave. Harry's is an ergonomic shaving masterpiece. The essentials, perfectly balanced, perfect shave. Harry's has an amazing offer for listeners of my show. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code WALT at harrys.com. That means you get a razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use code WALT at harrys.com. Join the millions of guys who have already switched. Go to harrys.com today. Use code WALT at checkout to claim your offer. Trust me, you'll thank me later. Let me get to Andrew. I want to get to a comment that Rebecca made on the on my Twitter feed as well. Andrew, how are you?
I'm doing well, Walt. I hope you are.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. Appreciate you getting in.
So, 86 Celtics, I can't really disagree completely with you, but I would love to have seen them play the 96 Bulls. I would have, because those teams, that would have been an athletic matchup that would have been difficult. The Celtics were better shooters, but some of the stuff that the Bulls could do defensively when they wanted to shut somebody down, and that was still under the old rules where they were still playing the same basketball that we were used to in the 80s. So that was – I think those two teams would match up well. But I would put them like 1A and 1B. And then is it 88 that the Lakers – I mean, the Showtime Lakers, was it 88 when the Lakers were absolutely just crazy good?
Yeah, I think that maybe that 87-88 team. Andrew, let me say, I understand your point, but I think the Celtics would have wiped the floor with that Bulls team. I think it would have been a four-game sweep, five games. I don't think that Bulls team is one of the five greatest teams of all time. I just don't. I think they were limited in lots of areas. And they were still primarily a walk-it-up-the-court team. Scottie Pippen is the guy who put the run in the Bulls. Jordan was a half-court player. The 86 Celtics were a push team. They were a big team, but they were a transition team. They pushed the ball up the court because all it takes to run is will, and all their big guys ran. Bird ran, McHale ran, Parrish ran, and Walton was an unbelievable outlet passer, and they were so good defensively as well because it was hard to get shots against them in the lane. They had such size, and if you look at that matchup, not only were the Celtics the much better running team, but how would the Bulls have guarded any of those guys on the low block? How would they have guarded? I just don't think they would have matched up with any of them. I get the dominance of that team in the era they played, but I don't know. Again, for me, in terms of how basketball is supposed to be played, the best teams I ever saw were the mid-'80s Celtics and Lakers, because not only were they insanely gifted, but they ran. They pushed the ball. I mean, I know there was some discussion of Magic Johnson today. By far the dominant player on those mid-'80s Laker teams was Magic Johnson. It wasn't Kareem. I mean, Magic was the push guy. He's the greatest push guy in the history of basketball. They ran after made baskets. They didn't walk the ball up the court and play these games that we're playing today. I mean, they were a constant transition team. They not only had the greatest push man in the history of the game, they had the greatest lane filler in the history of the game in James Worthy. And they had Byron Scott to spread you out, who would spread out to the three-point line. And so you had to guard against all those things as Magic was pushing the ball. It was really like, and they had all-stars everywhere. They had all-stars in reserve. I mean, I think those two teams in terms of overall talent, and then I think you'd have to go back to some of the Russell teams. I think there were a couple Laker teams other than the Magic era. I'm talking the West Baylor Chamberlain era that were in that realm of greatness. But as great as those Bulls teams were, I don't see them as being on that level with the mid-'80s Celtics and Lakers. That's, to me, I mean, I think even if you go back and watch it today, you'll see basketball just isn't played like that anymore. You don't have these teams that are constantly pushing the ball. And that's the way this game is supposed to be played. I mean, it's supposed to be five guys pushing the basketball, sharing the basketball, looking for the best shot possible. And it's just not played like that anymore. You know, it's a game of ball screens and ISOs and while those teams could certainly do that, and at times did, they were still transition teams first, and their talent level was just unbelievable.
Yes, absolutely, but one guy you're forgetting about on that Lakers team was Michael Cooper.
But oh, yeah.
He was playing phenomenal defense, and that was one way that, I mean, I think he was Defensive Player of the Year, like, several years in a row, and he just, that was one of the ways that they were constantly going into transition, because he was so good defensively.
Oh, yeah, and, no. But they yeah, did no, I didn't, for, they, I didn't forget
doubt,
about him.
But, doubt that Magic, yeah. Magic was the face of the Lakers more than Kareem at that point, but you still had those games where they, if the other team was letting them do it, they fed Kareem, and Kareem still, you know, ate his cake.
Yeah, but let's remember, you know, in the championship against Philadelphia when they didn't have Kareem, Magic Johnson played center and scored 44 points. You know, there was nothing he couldn't do.
And it was, that may be one of the best games ever, too. I mean,
yeah,
that was
one of the best.
Moses Malone.
Yep. One of the best individual efforts ever in terms of a player playing actually out of position based on, but again, I can tell you, you know, having seen those teams, I mean, there's no question. I mean, Kareem would tell you the best player on that team was Magic Johnson. It wasn't remotely close. He was the guy. It was Johnson versus Bird, and they elevated the game of basketball to a level that it had never seen prior and has never seen since because of their greatness. Yeah. You know, there was an old story about Don Nelson when he was coaching the Milwaukee Bucks, and they were very good, and they introduced the first four Celtics, and Nelson said to a rookie player on his team, he said, "Son, there you have four good players." And then they introduced Bird, and Nelson said to him, "Now you have five great ones," because that's what those guys understood inherently. Bird and Johnson made everybody they played with better players.
Right, and it was just a different era, and I grew up watching that. I mean, I was in my teens watching that basketball, and no, you're not going to get any disagreement with me about that at all, because those Lakers and Celtics matchups were incredible. I mean, and they did play basketball a different way. It was just,
yep,
it was phenomenal. But anyway, well, yep. I'm glad everybody's
thank
doing
you, Andrew.
Well, and have a great day.
Thank you, Andrew. Great job. Great call. Yep. Yeah, I mean, it was just somehow, you know, we have the defensive rules have all been relaxed so that we have these high-scoring games. We have this ball screen offense, this ISO game, but somehow we've lost transition, and it certainly happened at the collegiate level too, which is why when you see teams like Gonzaga run with big guys, that's how the game sort of used to be played. And that's why it would have been so interesting to watch them play this year, because I'm not sure anybody could have dealt with their athleticism, with their size, and the fact that they run. You know, somehow we've lost sight of this. All it takes to run is desire. Plan and desire. And those teams ran. The Lakers ran after a made basket. You know, the Lakers are playing a pro basketball version of what Loyola Marymount was doing collegially, except they played defense. Malcolm, how are you?
Well, how you doing?
Good, Malcolm. Good to have you, as always.
Yeah, well, 86 Celtics was the best team ever. But
I give you one that would go with them. The 72 Lakers.
The
72 Lakers with Tamlin West and Hap Harrison. Elgin Baylor got injured and didn't really play that season. But that team, the Lakers and the Celtics, I think were the two best teams ever.
Yeah, I think you could argue that. If that's the team I think it is, I think they won 33 straight games. And, you know, and when you win 33 straight games, you're winning at home, you're winning on the road, you're winning everywhere. I mean, yeah, they were incredible. They were invincible. I mean, you know, there have been so many great teams throughout history, but I think that team is one of the greatest teams. And, you know, it's a team I pointed to a little bit ago as well. But, yeah, no, I think you're all over it, Malcolm.
One other thing, while you're talking basketball, back when I started watching, they only had, like, I'm going to say 12, 14 teams. And every team had a great center. Every team.
Yeah.
So when you talk about the centers of old, they never had a night off. They always had to face a Hall of Fame center. You had Bob Lanier. You had Wes Unseld, Willis Reed. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Nate Thurman.
That was Nate Thurman. You had the Hawks had a guy, Zemo Beatty.
Beatty. They also had Walt Bellamy.
Walt Bellamy. You're right.
Bellamy's one of the great players of all time. Yeah, look, the biggest misnomer, the biggest mistake people make when talking about history they know nothing about is they think that that guys like Chamberlain didn't play against any centers. And nothing could be further from the truth. The center position was dominant at that time, and as Malcolm correctly says, everyone had a great center. Now, nobody has a center. Now nobody has a five. Now evolution has changed some of that because some of these guys have morphed into stretch fours, and it has changed the way the game is played. But make no mistake about it: if a Wilt Chamberlain came along today or a Shaquille O'Neal came along today, you would change the way you play to get them the ball. They would not only dominate; they would dominate to a level that they had never dominated before because there's nobody in basketball today, you could deal with them. The center position today in basketball is an absolute joke. I mean, it's actually sort of disgusting. It's hard to believe how bad it is.
Yeah, you're right, Walt. You're right. But one other thing before I go, you know how Jordan had Pippen as his man? Well, Ramon is yours because he gives you a point.
Thank you, Malcolm. That's a good job. You said the phone call. I don't even know how we got on this discussion. I guess what I saw on Twitter. Big Blue Bill, I'm coming right to you on the other side. Quick break.
Broadcasting live from the Priority One Security Studios, WCCP 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT, 1560 Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg, the Upstate's number one choice for sports. We are the Roar.
Rely on EnviroMulch for your outdoor project. With all the rain we've had, they can help with rock crush and run along with 57 stone for your erosion, flooding driveway, and water pooling issues. Order online at EnviroMulchOnline.com.
Located at 134 Exchange Street in beautiful historic downtown Pendleton, the Blue Heron offers only the best selection of meats, sushi, sides, farm-to-table flatbread, drinks, and desserts. Featuring an upscale seating area and bar to catch all the big games, their daily menu specials and happy hour fits every craving. 134 Exchange Street, downtown Pendleton. Check them out on Facebook and Instagram at Blue Heron Restaurant. Visit blueheronfood.com for full menu specials and more information. That's blueheronfood.com.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents
and Doug.
Check it out, Limo. Got a brand new motorcycle jacket and matching leather pants. Now let's go for a ride and tell everyone that Liberty Mutual customizes their motorcycle insurance. So you only pay for what you need. Oh my gosh, this leather does not breathe well. You can't suffocate in leather, can you?
Liberty.
Get a customized quote at libertymutual.com.
You've heard talk about Harbin Lumber's strong customer service and elite customer support. They know that time is make or break for you contractors in hand.